happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to explore how memory loss protection can occur when you take a particular type of food. I'll mention this food. Easy to use, safe to use. Most people don't consume it. Also, if you feel stressed, then your body is going to be inflamed. How can we rejuvenate using particular antioxidants? I'll detail that. A new study from the University of Barcelona shows the Mediterranean diet is high in healthy fats, but you will not gain weight because of it. Also, if you have arthritis, I'm going to tell you about a single food that can make a difference from McGill University, and more on health. My guest in the second part of our program today will be Ronnie Cummings. Ronnie is the co-founder and international director of Organic Consumer Association, and we're going to talk about the Dark Act, the new corporate and political assault on our food system, and how Big Agra, under a Clinton White House, would virtually destroy all freedom of choice. You won't want to miss that. Also today, a commentary from Professor James Petras from Global Research on Obama's imperial legacy. Also today, there was a new report showing how scientists warn of a global climate emergency. What does that mean? It's about our jet stream shifting. I'll explain that. From our audio files today, we're going to hear from Rand Paul talking about how in the world can you pass a bill into law if you've never read it? And he's saying nobody reads any of these bills ever. And so I think that on this issue, there are a lot of issues I would completely have a disagreements with Rand Paul. But on this issue, I'm glad he brought it up because he is right on. So I'll play that clip. So you see, we have a packed hour. So let's begin. Always with the latest on health. Yesterday afternoon, when I was consuming a part of my afternoon nutrition, very simple, I had a seaweed salad, lots of sunflower sprouts and mung sprouts. I made a nice tangerine with fresh tangerines, on some mustard, some apple cider vinegar, and some olive oil. I blend that, and then I put it into a dispenser, and I spray it onto the salad. That way you get that extra little kick when you taste it, but it doesn't in any way deny the wonderful taste and crunchiness and mouthfeel of whatever else is in the salad. Sometimes people put too much salad dressing on, it becomes soggy. Well, this is the best way of doing it, I believe. And then I put that on top of some seaweed, in this case, hijiki seaweed. And to make the seaweed taste a little more interesting, I use marin, which is a seasoning, an oil. And then I also use a little bit of tahini, and I mix tahini with tofu, put in some lemon juice, and I blend that into the seaweed. So it's just not seaweed. It kind of disguises the seaweed. I'm not a big fan of plain seaweed. But the point was, I was eating it with intent, meaning I'm eating foods based upon their functionality. How do they function in the body? Well, they function to heal. This is the latest study showing you why it's a good idea to use algaes. This is about memory loss and protecting your brain. Now, there are a lot of different nutrients that help your thyroid glands so you have more energy, help your body burn fat, help you have better fingernails, eyebrows, because one of the first signs that you're deficient in iodine is you start thinning on the outside of your eyebrows. Then you start to get little cracks and little white flecks in your fingernails and toenails. And then they start to break very easily. You should have pink, hard, smooth fingernails and toenails. It's just one of the ways that we show that we're slowing down the aging process. And sea vegetables are one of the ways we can do that. And hijiki is one of the most common. But there's something else in that sea vegetable, in the algaes that we consume, and like chlorella or spirulina. And that is astaxanthin. This is a nutrient that we've known for a long time is extremely important for our eyes. In fact, almost every single eye formula has this nutrient in it. Now, if you eat salmon, you can get it, but also you can get it as part of the carotenoid complex. So there are some fruits and berries that have it, but also algaes have it, and spirulina has it. And the part of the brain that stores your memory is known as the hippocampus, hippo, H-I-P-P-O, campus, C-A-M-P-U-S. And it's especially vulnerable to damage from glucose. Hence, every time that you have sugar or high fructose corn syrup or glucose, which you're going to get in pastries, soft drinks, is going to spike your blood sugar. Well, it also spikes the sugar in the brain. And that is dangerous because that causes problems with your brain. And that can start with the little tiny proteins in the brain, these amyloid plaques. The more those plaques you have, the less functional your brain becomes, until one day you have so many of these things, you end up without a good memory. You end up being unable to understand where you're at any given time. In fact, recently, this is one of those sad things when I think about it, because when I used to have my restaurant, Gary's Place, which was extremely popular, used to be packed. Sorry, I have something in my throat. I would have people who were regulars, and they would come in every night. I mean, it was, as one of the guys said, hey, this is like my kitchen, my dining room. You know, I come here because it's vegan, it's organic, it's healthy, it's gourmet. You always have some musicians playing one night. It might be folk music another night, chamber music another night, rhythm blues. But it was always something. And it was a wonderful, fun place to hang out. And there was one person who will not be mentioned, and he would sit in a table right beside another table for a very famous musician who would come in every single night when he was in the United States, which was a lot. And wonderful conversations would ensue. And recently I had dinner with this same person that I've known for a long time, and we were eating at this little vegetarian restaurant. And three times within a period of an hour, he said, he'd stop and look and say, where are we at? And I would tell him the name of the restaurant and the address. Okay, do you come here often? Yes. I've never been here, have I? Yeah, you've eaten here probably 1,000 times. I have? That's what happens when you're dealing with people who've lost cognition, who have amyloid plaque in the brain, and who start going down that slippery slope. A year from now, I won't be able to have any meal with this person because they will not be able to go out of their apartment unescorted. Even now, they have to be when they fly. They're a very famous person, but the world doesn't know this person's suffering from the level of dementia that this person has. And that's why protecting your brain is so important. And that's why everything you do that is pro-inflammatory can harm the brain. So every one of those, you know, ice creams you don't think about, it's summer, it's beautiful, let's have an ice cream. Why not have a rice ice cream, one that doesn't have the sugar, might have stevia, or at least has a small amount of natural sugar that is not going to create this spike. But no, we want what we want when we want it, and because we like it, we continue, and we are nothing but junk food addicts. In fact, I wanted to see how many healthy cooking programs there were, food programs. I couldn't find one. In fact, last evening I was looking just to see, and there was one called Carnival, I think it's called Carnival Eats. I can't imagine the type of combinations these people come up with at these carnivals, huge amounts of food, all, in my personal opinion, the most unhealthy thing you could possibly put in your belly. And if these people just live for this, and massive amounts of meat, like one had a foot-long hot dog, then it had elk burgers, and that's unfortunate, coming from elk, no different than the cow from the hot dog or whatever portion of an animal they used. Then they had cheese, then they had eggs, and then they had a pork. That is just, do you have any idea that that's a whole week's worth of protein in one sandwich, more calories than what your body could possibly handle, more sugar in the bun and in the sauces, and that's going to hurt the brain, kidneys, liver, create ammonium. And so you won't think about it then, and you won't think about it the next day. But in time, when you start losing your memory, in time, when you're diagnosed with Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, just remember, these don't happen without you doing something to contribute to them. They're not genetic. These are things that are cause and effect. So anyhow, the whole point is that when we put sugar into our body, it's going to spike the brain, and that increases our likelihood of having memory loss. It adversely affects the hippocampus, the brain, and it leads us to being very vulnerable. So the good news is that when you are taking in an algae or seaweed, you're able to get the nutrients out of that algae or seaweed to go in there and block that from happening. It really does protect your brain. The carotenoids, they protect the neurodegeneration from occurring. So you're helping yourself every time you have a seaweed salad, every time you're having a health drink with spirulina or chlorella in it, you're protecting your brain. So please understand, we need to stop this pandemic of brain-related dysfunction that we're seeing right now. This is a whole lot of unwanted cell death surging every time you have alcohol or sugar. Now that brings me to the next issue, and that is about inflammation. The basis of almost all disease is a pro-inflammatory response. Now inflammation tells us something's wrong. We should pay attention to it. We should not try to turn it off. The fact that you turn off a pain signal doesn't mean that what was causing the pain has gone away. It just means you don't feel it. So you want to know if there's pain, ulcerative colitis, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease. You want to know that you have this because then you can change your lifestyle. Well, the latest study shows that including type 2 diabetes and all forms of chronic illness, you can take more of the fruits and vegetables. That gives you hundreds of different anti-inflammatory nutrients. And these anti-inflammatory nutrients not just turn off the pain, but actually start the healing process. Vitamin E, that would be right near the top of the list. The beta carotene, the phytosterols, that's what you would get from, let's say, having soy. Then if you looked in the berries and the grapes, you're looking at a whole other group. And then curcumin. Taking 2,000-3,000 milligrams of curcumin today in divided doses is one of the best ways of protecting your cells, protecting cancer, protecting against inflammation, protecting against diabetes, protecting against heart disease. So if you're inflamed, your body is stressed. If it's stressed, it's diseasing. If that's occurring, you can reverse it, repair it, rejuvenate it with eating lots of raw, healthy foods, including antioxidants. And one of the most powerful antioxidants are the phenols. Phenol, P-H-E-N-O-L-S. There are thousands of studies, including the latest in the European Food Safety Authority, that show that the phenols, and let's say most people would recognize the phenol coming from olive oil, the phenolic compounds, what are called olive oil phenolic compounds, or OOPC, protect against the low-density lipoproteins from oxidative damage. So if you want to have healthier fats, olive oil. If you want to protect your heart, there's a particular polyphenol. It is called hydroxytyrosol, and it is extremely important. It comes from olive oil and olives. So protect your heart, protect your arteries, protect your brain by having the phenolics from the extra virgin olive oil. And finally, the Mediterranean diet is high in healthy fats. And this is from the University of Barcelona, published in The Lancet, Diabetes and Endocrinology, that eating the Mediterranean diet, which has a lot of vegetable fats like olive oil or nuts like walnuts and macadamias, you can actually lose weight. That is better than even a low-fat diet. And you don't gain weight. So you've got to understand that the good, healthy fats the body can use, and they're healing, especially for your heart and your arteries. The unhealthy fats that can contribute to breast cancer and heart disease are the arachidonic acids and the other fats that come from a meat-based diet. So when you're having lard and trans fatty acids and pork, you're getting the unhealthy fats, and you don't want those. Oh, and finally, from McGill University, published in Arthritis Care and Research, guess what they found helps treat rheumatoid arthritis? Cannabinoids. The cannabinoids are the essential oils in cannabis, and they have hundreds of different healing potentials, but they can help manage rheumatoid diseases. And that is very important. They can help with fibromyalgia, osteoarthritis, and rheumatoid arthritis. So, the sooner we start encouraging people to grow hemp for all of its different wonderful uses, and grow hemp forest to protect our environment, hemp oils that can be used as functional oils, the healthier we'll be as a society. I'm Gary Noll. That's the latest on health and healing. Let me just bring an update on the environment. Let me just report on this from this morning. And I post all this, by the way, on my website. We post between 100 to 200 articles a day, always on progressive themes from all over the world. And that's why, 223 million visits in the last 12 months? Quote from The Independent, experts say drastic weather changes could cause massive hits to food supply and death of winter. Environmental scientists have declared a global climate emergency after the Northern Hemisphere's jet stream was found to have crossed the equator, bringing, quote, unprecedented changes to the world's weather patterns. Robert Schreibler, University of Ottawa, and Paul Beckwith warned of the, quote, weather destabilizing and extreme weather generating consequence of the jet stream shift. The scientists said the anomalies were most likely precipitated by man-made climate change, which caused the jet stream to slow down and create larger waves. And this is really, really bad. It's happening now. So what are the consequences? Well, consequences is that you could suddenly see areas that have normal winter with snowpack, and you won't have that. And where it's hot, it'll be unlivably hot. You won't be able to sustain life. You can't grow food. So we're talking about not a little area. We're talking about an area half the size of the planet. Well, what are we going to do with 3.5 to 4 billion people living there? Well, we better talk about the problem so we can come up with some solutions. Now, I'm going to play you a clip before we take our first break. This is from Senator Rand Paul on people not reading the bills. And here's the question, how in the world could you possibly pass a bill on behalf of the American public if you don't know what's in it? And wasn't it the head of the House of Representatives who said, we'll know what's in the bill once it's passed? So who writes the bills? Lobbyists and special interest groups and think tanks. On whose behalf? Their own. And they give it to legislators through lobbyists? Yes. And they just kind of rubber stamp it and put it through? Yes. And they're given some kind of financial or career inducement, maybe having fundraising parties for them? Yeah. And then afterwards they get those black American Express cards possibly and $500,000 to $1 million a year in consulting fees to go to work for a think tank so they can lobby themselves. That's how it works. And there are, what, about 200,000 to 300,000 corporations involved in Washington, D.C. feeding at the public trough? Yeah, with a couple million additional members. Yeah, so it's like a permanent gorging feast of insiders. Does any of this help the American public? Not one single bill. Well, listen to Ron Paul.
It's about a 10% approval rate. One of the reasons is we don't even obey our own rules. For goodness sakes, 600-page bill, and I got it this morning. Not one member of the Senate will read this bill before we vote on it. We're going to vote on this in the next 30 minutes. I and Senator Lee and others will object to this. We'll have a point of order that our own rules say that it has to be posted online for 48 hours. 600 pages. No one will read it. No wonder our approval rating is 10%. Nobody knows what we're voting on. In fact, things have been stuck in this bill last night that have nothing to do with any of these bills, and they've been stuck in, and we're just now discovering it. I passed two senators in the hall going back to their office, still trying to get out something that's been written into this bill that affects their state that they found out minutes ago. Had they not found out about it, nobody would have known about it. Three bills that are in question here, transportation bill, student loan bill. The student loan bill, originally we had the loans at 6%, and it was somehow bringing in money to the Treasury. We were using that money to pay for Obamacare. Now it's at 3%, that money's gone. Where's the money to pay for Obamacare? We have a shell game up here. We say one thing's going to pay for it, now this is going to pay for it. Money disappears. Now what they're saying is they're going to pay for this by taking money out of pensions. Raise your hand if you think it's a good idea to underfund pensions more. Over half of the pensions in this country are technically insolvent because they don't have enough money to pay for them. Is it a good idea to have less money go into workers' pension to pay for a student loan program? I have a bill in Congress that says we should read the bills before we pass them. It says that we should wait one day for each 20 pages. So we'd be given time to read 600-page bills. But at the very least, we ought to adhere to our own rules. Our rules say that it should be posted online at least 48 hours. 48 hours is still a challenge to find out everything in here. You know how long the Federal Register is? It's 55,000 pages added annually. It's hundreds of thousands of pages. So when you read this, you have to refer to the Federal Register that's hundreds of thousands of pages to find out what they've stuck in this bill in the dead of night. This isn't the way we should operate. The American people want to know, why do we all of a sudden say, oh, the government's going to shut down if we don't do something in 3 days? Well, what were they doing for the previous 3 months? What's going on up here? The other side hasn't produced a budget in 3 years.
Okay, so you get the idea. Did you know that? What do you think about the piece of legislation where the pharmaceutical industry was able to get a legislator to put into a bill that no pharmaceutical company could ever be sued for anything that might be harmful in a vaccine? And it succeeded. No one read it. And how about in the middle of the night, like 2 in the morning, a 1,300-page piece of legislation several years ago on the Medicare program, and they put right in the middle of that the federal government could not negotiate for the cheapest prices for Medicare and Medicaid for medicines. So if Big Pharma wanted to sell you a pill at $1,000 per pill, we had to pay, the taxpayers had to pay for $1,000 a pill, where the same pill, the same identical generic pill, whether it worked or not is a separate issue, but we could buy it for $9. And how much did that pill cost the manufacturer? About 12 cents. Yeah, true. 12 cents to manufacture a 30-day supply of a generic pill, and so they make a 600,000% markup. And how were they able to get away with it? Because of the people they controlled. And what happened to the 12 people who were ramming this through? They all left. All 12 members of the House of Representatives left and went to work for pharmaceutical companies. That's how it's all working against us. So when I say that you cannot redeem such an absolutely corrupt system in Washington, every single agency is corrupt. Every single one of the departments is manipulated or maintained by the stay-behinds, the technocrats, anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 per presidential cycle that stay there to do the bidding of the special interest groups who selected the presidents to begin with. Do you really think that the people in power are the presidents? No, they're the spokespersons. And around them are an army of highly qualified, highly skilled, intelligent technocrats. And then they manipulate the bureaucracy, and that's how it happens. So now you know, nothing in Washington is what it seems. President Obama is racing forward to establish his imperial legacy throughout Russia, Asia, and Latin America. In the last 2 years, he has accelerated the buildup of his military nuclear arsenal on the frontiers of Russia. But hold on, wasn't this the same president who got the liberal community to vote for him in no small measure because he wanted to end wars and he wanted to stop nation building and regime change and he wanted to stop imperial overreach, he wanted to stop lobbying, he wanted to completely denuclearize America? Yeah, it's the same person. So what he said he didn't do, he did just the opposite. So this is what we're doing now. Instead of taking the student loans that we just heard and forgiving all of it to start over, instead, that would be the same amount of money that Obama has given to small, select military and industrial contractors, over $1 trillion, to add new nuclear material, new nuclear weapons. We already have thousands, but evidently it's never enough. So even though we could kill every man, woman, and child on the planet 27 times over, they want to do it even more. This type of recklessness, and yet it's not in anyone's talking points or any platform. But that's part of what he wants. And so in Latin America, Obama has shed his shallow pretense of tolerating the center or left and their elected regimes. Instead, he has joined the rabid authoritarian neoliberals in Argentina, met with the judges and politicians engineering the overthrow of the current Brazilian government, and encouraged the emerging far-right-wing regimes in Peru under Keiko and Fujimori, and Colombia under President Santos. In Asia, Obama has clearly escalated a military buildup, threatening China's principal waterways in the South China Sea. And Obama encouraged aggressive and violent separatist groupings in Hong Kong and Taiwan. Obama invites Beijing billionaires to relocate $1 trillion in assets to the North American continent. Meanwhile, he has actively blocked China's long-planned commercial Silk Route across Myanmar and West Asia. In the Middle East, Obama joined with Saudi Arabia to escalate its brutal war and blockade in Yemen. He directed Kenya and other African predator states to attack Somalia. He has continued to the back-to-back mercenary armies invading Syria while collaborating with the Turkish dictator Erdogan as Turkish troops bomb Kurdish, Syrian, and Iraqi fighters who are engaged on the front lines against Islamic terrorism. The Obama regime is desperate to overcome the consequences of its political, military, and economic failures of the past many years and establish the U.S. as the uncontested global economic and military power. At this stage, Obama's supreme goal is to leave an enduring legacy where he will be surrounded and will be surrounding and weakening Russia and China, reconverting Latin America into an authoritarian free trade background for the U.S. plunder, turning the Middle East and North Africa into a bloody playpen for Arab dictators bent on brutalizing whole nations and turning millions into refugees to flood Europe and elsewhere. So once his legacy is established, our president can boast that he has dragged our great nation into more wars for longer periods of time, costing more diverse human lives and creating more desperate refugees than any previous president since World War II, all the while polarizing and impoverishing the great mass of working Americans. He will indeed set a high bar for his incumbent replacement, Hillary Clinton, to leap over and expand, and she will. You cannot imagine the amount of carnage that will be wrought upon our planet when she becomes president. So mark my words, she will be president unless she's indicted. And when she becomes president, Washington will become one massive, massive giveaway to friends and special interest groups, and especially the warmongers. So remember, everybody was warned and nobody paid attention. And that's unfortunate, because we should have. Every so-called victory Obama's had has been temporary, blighted, then reversed. Obama has caused bombing in Afghanistan. Obama's allies, again, are plundering Latin America. Obama terrorized the fragmented Syria. And now he's posturing against China and Russia. Gee whiz, wonder who's going to win that. Let me just think for a moment. The biggest, most powerful, most costly military-industrial complex in the world, and we have yet to win a single victory. A, that's karma. B, that's incompetency. And C, the only people that we've ever had a true victory against was Grenada. And I think they had 129 soldiers against the entire invasion force. Well, you couldn't beat the Taliban. And after all these years, and exactly how are you going to defeat Russia and China? They don't want to fight. They're not putting all their money into a military-industrial complex. We do. So when you drive away from the White House, or when you drive from the suburbs of in Virginia and Maryland into Washington, do you ever stop for a moment and think of what this country would have been like had you put all those resources into de-ghettoizing it, causing a new civil conservation corps to put people to work, to rebuilding America, to rebuild our infrastructure, to have a whole new growth of people in small communities everywhere to support them? What a difference it would have been using just the same amount of resources. I'm Gary Noll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line, just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
Yep, well, that should be the new theme song for one non-commercial radio station. Hopefully, somewhere, by some alchemy, they'll get the funds they need to rebuild, pay for premiums, and have a new public relations campaign to bring in new listeners. Hope so. It's been around a long time. Let's now go over and say hello to Ronnie Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-S. He's out in Minnesota. And as I mentioned earlier, is the co-founder and international director of Organic Consumer Association. And in the 1990s, he was director of the Foundation for Economic Trends in Washington, D.C., with almost 1 million members. The association is a nonprofit public interest organization campaigning for sustainable health and justice on critical issues of food safety, industrial agriculture, genetic engineering, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. The organization's website is organicconsumers.org. He is also the author of Genetic Engineering, Engineered Foods. Nice to have you with us, Ronnie.
Good to be with you again.
Ronnie, it's not been covered much in the mainstream media, but the U.S. Senate just 2 days ago passed a bill that has become known as the DARK Act, that's D-A-R-K Act, or Deny Americans the Right to Know Act, that essentially is a strategy by Monsanto and its allies in the food lobbying to undermine states' efforts to mandate labeling of genetically modified foods and products. And this is primarily in response to the state of Vermont passing its consumer protection bill that would go into effect today and require GMO labeling. And it's also in compliance with the World Health Organization's Codex Alimentarius International food standards that define a genetically modified food and a genetically engineering on which it is based as fine standard. So I think it might be important to note the main rulings in Vermont bill and then comment on why this bill is so damaging and threatening to Monsanto, Syngenta, DuPont, and Bayer, and if it becomes standard in other states, and then take us into how does the DARK Act undermine Vermont's rules and even undermines those companies that desire to label their products.
Yes, well, today's July 1st. It's a date a lot of us have been looking forward to because the Vermont law goes into effect today, requiring the labeling of genetically engineered foods and sold in grocery stores across the U.S., at least packaged foods and produce. It doesn't cover meat and animal products, meat, dairy, or poultry. The problem is, of course, the good news is all the big corporations that have refused to let us know whether their food's genetically engineered or not are being forced to do so as we speak. Everyone from Mars to Kellogg's to ConAgra to General Mills to even Pepsi and Coke and Danone, all these companies are starting to put labels on their products that say produced with genetic engineering or partially produced with genetic engineering. And, of course, they don't want to do this, because they know full well that once consumers start noticing these labels, they're going to look for non-genetically engineered or organic or grass-fed food. So they've been lobbying furiously in Congress, and things are coming to a head. They've put together a coalition of Republicans and Clinton Democrats who claim they're going to preempt the Vermont law starting next week, pushing this thing called the DARK Act, Deny Americans the Right to Know, is what we call it. It's a compromise between the right-wing Republican Roberts from Kansas and the supposed middle-of-the-road Clinton Democrat Stabenow from Michigan. These are the powerhouses in the Senate, and they're going to ram through this bill. The shocking thing that's come to light over the last couple of weeks is that they're being supported by these organic traders, as we call them, T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, who claim to be representing organic consumers and the general public on the one hand, but are now lobbying for the DARK Act. This includes Whole Foods Market, the largest retail seller of organic foods in the U.S. It includes UNFI, which is the near monopoly wholesaler of organic and natural foods to retailers. It includes the so-called Organic Trade Association, and it includes a number of nonprofit organizations that have pretended to be on our side up until now, like Gary Hirschberg from Stonyfield Farms just label it, the Environmental Working Group, and others. So what these leaders, so-called leaders of the organic industry and the Organic Trade Association have been doing is having backdoor meetings in Congress over the last few months, telling the Congress people, oh, yeah, the Vermont law is not a good idea. It'll create a patchwork of regulations. It won't protect organic integrity. And we support this Robert Stabenow bill, the DARC Act. And even though there are some radicals in the organic community who'll complain, they'll get over it. And so go ahead and vote for this bipartisan bill that will nullify Vermont and put in place this new regime, which they say will provide disclosure to the American public. The problem with the DARC Act is, first of all, they have, in this congressional bill, they've redefined genetically engineered or genetically modified foods. They use the term bioengineered. And their new definition in this bill, which would be the law, says that you don't really have to label something unless you can detect its DNA in a lab. So that would exempt genetically engineered cooking oils and high fructose corn syrup, a whole lot of products like that. Even more, it says, as long as this genetic material exists somewhere in nature, you know, even if it doesn't exist in a plant, you can, you don't have to label it. So, in other words, these guys are about to pass a law that exempts 95% of all the genetically engineered food, out on the market from having to even have a QR code or a 1-800 number 5 years from now identify it. So it's a total fraud. All the Roundup Ready crops wouldn't have to be labeled. All the BT splice crops would not have to be labeled. And this isn't labeling. What they're talking about is down the road, and this would take years, they're saying that the Agricultural Marketing Service of the USDA will give companies three options. They can either label their stuff as genetically engineered, which, of course, none of them will do if they don't have to, or very few of them, or they can put some kind of a mark on the thing, like the irradiated food mark, or they can use a 1-800 number, which will take you to the company's website, or one of these stupid QR codes, which are, this is trademarked by the Grocery Manufacturers Association of the U.S., who are, you know, been fighting against labeling from the beginning. And it would take years before there would be any requirement for a QR code or a 1-800 number. Most of the GMO foods out there, 95% or more, would not have to be labeled anyway. And in the bill, it's completely voluntary for industry in the sense that there are no provisions for enforcing this. In other words, a company can flaunt the law, even on that tiny percentage of GMOs that need to be disclosed under this law, and nothing's going to happen to them. So this is not a labeling law, the Stabenow-Roberts bill or the DARC Act. This is a no-labeling bill, and the message of it to American consumers is shut up and eat your Frankenfoods. And the shocking thing, I just did a live feed on the Facebook page of Organic Consumers Association. I did a little talk about this. The shocking thing, in addition to all this, is that the organic elite are getting in there and backing this thing. The Organic Trade Association is using this PR firm, Podesta. You've probably heard that name, Podesta, because this is Hillary Clinton's main PR gunslingers. They're also the PR firm for Monsanto's biotechnology industry organization. I think they now call themselves the Biotechnology Innovation Organization, but it's just a front group for Monsanto and the rest. So they have actually convinced a bunch of U.S. senators who up until now had been supportive of mandatory labeling to change their vote. And they tell us that starting next week, they're going to actually vote this thing in, and that the Vermont law will be nullified within a few months. Complicating their moves, though, this week, even the Food and Drug Administration came out with a legal memo this week saying, you know what, that DARK Act bill is written in a way that appears to be unconstitutional, and it's totally, it would totally exempt, almost all foods from having to be disclosed. The FDA is mad that Congress is handing over control of food labeling and of GMOs to the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, instead of them. But they're also legally obligated to point out that this law is a landmine in terms of it'll be reversed eventually in the federal courts. Unfortunately, that'll take 5 years, and that'll give industry five more years to poison us with the GMOs and the toxic chemicals that always accompany them and not have to disclose anything.
There is also the little matter of a recent scandal occurring this week when over 100 Nobel Prize laureates signed a letter demanding that Greenpeace stop its campaign against genetically modified crops. Although I believe it primarily concerned golden rice that is being targeted for developing nations. And I'm opposed to golden rice. It didn't work. And most others who actually study the subject realize that. But seemingly we're learning that this is a huge campaign effort being spearheaded by Monsanto and the corporate food industry. Also, we don't hear much about golden rice, which is supposed to be high in vitamin A, and we're told would supplement many parts of the world where populations are vitamin A deficient. In addition to this recent scandal, what are your main concerns over the environmental and human health impacts of golden rice? And Greenpeace argues it poses serious environmental health risks, and yet they weren't even allowed into a discussion of this. They were barred, and the security for barring them was from one of Clinton's top people.
These so-called Nobel Prize winner experts. I mean, if you look real closely at the list of 100, they are Nobel Prize winners, but most of them are, physicists or, they're in other fields other than agriculture. They don't know a damn thing. A lot of them got Nobel Prizes 25 years ago, too. These are elderly scientists who don't know what they're talking about in terms of genetic engineering, who simply signed on to something because these PR operatives told them that others had signed on to it. They're alarmed that there's such a global uprising against genetic engineering, but they don't know what they're talking about, or else they're on the payroll of the genetic engineering companies. Golden rice, they've been promising this for over a decade, that they had the first miracle product of genetic engineering that would really increase nutrition and help poor people around the world and so on and so forth. The golden rice up until now, A, it doesn't really work out in the field. B, in order to grow the golden rice, like just all the other genetically engineered crops, you need irrigated water and lots of it, irrigation, which of course most, 85% of the farmers in the world don't have any means to irrigation. So you need a lot of water. You need a lot of energy to pump that water. You need a lot of chemicals, high-priced herbicides and so on, which farmers don't have the money for. You're going to end up with a product that doesn't work and, costs a lot of money. So it's just a propaganda ploy by the Rockefeller Foundation and others, Bill Gates, to try to cover up the fact that genetic engineering has been a total fraud for the last two decades. They have not produced one crop which produces more or uses less pesticides or helps nutrition or, you know, can adapt to a our severely disrupted climate. All they've done is produce a bunch of crops that use more of their pesticides and fungicides and herbicides and use more chemical fertilizers. But basically they're selling their own seeds and their chemicals. So it's a total scam. And Greenpeace has correctly pointed this out. And instead of addressing the scientific and environmental and nutritional agronomical concerns, they choose to just try to shoot the messenger saying that, oh, Greenpeace and these other groups like Organic Consumers Association, we want to starve the poor people of Africa and Asia, you know, and force some high-priced organic foods down their throats. So, you know, I think it's blowing up in their face again because it's showing that this effort to mobilize the aging retired members of Nobel Prizes in the past is paid for by Monsanto, and it's based upon a big lie. I mean, there was a story this week that came out in the Vermont Digger newspaper, I think very telling. Vermont is the only state in the country that requires farmers to report whether they're buying genetically engineered seeds or not to plant. And so we have a very clear idea in Vermont of what percentage of what crops are genetically engineered or not. Vermont also has a law, only four states in the U.S. have this law, where farmers also have to disclose what chemicals and toxic chemicals they're buying to use on their farm. An examination of the official statistics in Vermont shows is that between 1996 and the present time, when organic crops have grown from a tiny couple of percentage points to 97% of all the corn, for example, grown in Vermont right now. But what this study shows is that they've doubled the use of toxic herbicides, and not just Monsanto's Roundup. The number one most used toxic herbicide in Vermont today is atrazine. I mean, atrazine, Monsanto always used to tell us, is a really toxic herbicide that people should switch to their product Roundup from for being less toxic. Of course, that's a lie, but atrazine is very dangerous. The World Health Organization has pointed out it's carcinogenic, it's a hormone disruptor, it's banned in the European Union and many other places. But meanwhile, farmers in Vermont are spraying the heck out of their corn and other crops with atrazine and metalachlor and all kind of things, including glyphosate. They're spraying twice as much as they used to. They're using 25% more chemical fertilizers, and they're polluting the water and the air and the food at a rate far worse than when GMOs came on the market. So this is why industry and the turncoats in the organic industry and the biotech industry and the big food industry want to stop the Vermont law. And this DARC Act, by the way, would also nullify the Vermont seed law, which requires farmers to report what kind of seeds they're buying. So we wouldn't know what we know now in Vermont, and this applies across the country, that GMOs have doubled the use of toxic chemicals and fertilizers. So we need to stop this DARC Act, but if we can't stop it, because the entire political establishment is now arrayed against us, we need to exert our power where it counts in the marketplace. They may be able to take away our right to label, but they can't stop us from boycotting toxic foods.
We can boycott the entire large chain Whole Foods. Exactly. That's certainly a good place to start. Ronnie, let people know that if they reach out to your organization, organicconsumers.org, that your organization is fighting on their behalf, and that way they can be in the loop for calls to action of what to do. All right?
Yes, indeed. Go to organicconsumers.org. or go to our Facebook pages, Organic Consumers or Millions Against Monsanto, and you can get involved right away starting today.
Okay, and we have multiple articles posted on the dangers of GMOs on our website, so people educate yourself, because we are in a struggle for our right to know what's in our food. Ronnie Cummins, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. Look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day.